Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We do a lot of studies on this. In fact, Adam wasn't with us the last 10 minutes because he was doing a little bit of work on it. He has turned up this information that we are the number one show in the market for breastfeeding topics, right? And that the three of us know it better than any show. Adam, I mean, congratulations. I know you're a large part of that. So when you hear that this woman is breastfeeding her 9-year-old child, Adam Carter, 9-year-old child, what's your gut instinct?
That's a little old.
That's extraordinarily old in most of our ideas that we've thought of for a long, long time. It strikes me as potentially a publicity stunt. Now, she also says she wasn't able to do it with the first three kids and she found her groove. That doesn't mean that everything you have to stay in that groove. Okay. One of the texters is saying there's no added additional nutritional benefit past 1 year. I think there's some debate on that. Is there still at years 6, 7, 8, and 9? I mean, if someone was drinking breast milk now, are they in a significantly better position? I don't think so, but I don't know that 100%. Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm not into mom shaming, but the whole story screams that there is something not quite right with this mom, whether it's she enjoys the attention, whether she maybe has a stronger connection to her daughter and is fearful that it is her youngest and that she's getting older and there's that disconnect. But 9 years old, oh, man.
That seems years too old.
It does seem years too long. And it just seems like, you know, I'm very close with my mother. I was not a breastfed baby.
Are you still breastfeeding now?
No.
Okay.
I was never breastfed.
Yep.
But at some point, your relationship with your mother does shift. And this feels like some really unhealthy holding on to childhood.
Yes, I absolutely can see that as a possible reason. Paul's in St. Paul. Paul, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Again, good callers here or texters. A 4-pack of tickets to see Gerilyn Steele, the holiday special. It's coming up this Monday, 11 a.m. right here in the Cambria Gallery. Go ahead, Paul.
My comment is, I'm not sure if I was breastfed, but I'm 57. I probably was, but I don't remember it. And I don't even remember being bottle fed. So this is something that you should not remember. You shouldn't be able to, you know, at age 40, think back and remember something like that. What do you think about that?
You don't think it maybe at the third grade party that you should find your mother's breast and breastfeed?
A third grade party? No.
No. Yeah, I think I was looking for that answer. Thank you. I guess I don't know, Adam, because I looked at the story, whether literally latching on to the breasts or just expressing milk and having it that way. I mean, the reaction is going to be rather different, right? I mean, what would you think if you're out tonight because you're a man of the people and all of a sudden there is a mom and her 9-year-old child breastfeeding?
I'd say the thing I just said. It's too old.
Yeah. God, you just your own ideas. I mean,
why is that mom shaming? I'm sorry.
No.
Who am I to say?
We're into opinions on this show. We're not. Who am I to say?
No, but flip a coin.
Here's the thing: is there is a huge issue with mom shaming, especially I would say from other mothers that tend to be the worst of it.
Women, not even close.
Said this: women are our own worst enemy when it comes to how we relate to one another in the outside world. But when you put this out there and you know it's going to get a response, you can't be shocked that people say, Because here's the thing. This is not a situation where this mother lives in a third world country. This is the only way she is like can feed her child, give her child sustenance. Right. That is a completely different story.
Yes.
This is a British mother who leads a good life, has food on the table, has grown children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't tell me this was a British mother. I didn't know that.
Does that change your opinion?
Yeah, then it's fine.
It's fine now? Fine, yeah. So where did you think it was? Like,
well, I thought it was here.
Yeah, you thought it was South St.
Paul? Good old U.S. of A.
Yeah.
Well, you could make the joke. Maybe that's where all the bad teeth come from in Britain.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Extended breastfeeding.
Yeah. Talk about Brit shaming.
Yeah.
We got a Brexit going on here.
Chris is in Mound. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Chad. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm, first of all, completely surprised. I'm blown away. You've got a 9-year-old that's going to play soccer on the soccer field and interacting with her classmates and doing homework and then to come home.
Yep.
Mom, I'm hungry. I need to feed. How do you even handle that situation?
Does I guess
the child and the mom sneak off.
Right. I guess it changes like the juice boxes for soccer, right?
Exactly. Yep. I'm all in the category that that's a little bit too far and almost on the borderline disgusting on that one, Chad.
Thank you, sir. Is it, Lindsay? Is it disgusting?
I have a lot of questions. I don't want to call it disgusting because it's not my relationship with the mother. But I want to know, like, has the daughter asked for this to stop? Who's pushing the narrative?
If the human being has reached a point where he or she can ask to stop, then it seems like it's a little old, right?
But don't you know, you think of, it's kind of, I think back to like when you were a kid and you were like, no, I don't want to practice for dance class. Oh, no, you have to practice for dance class.
Yeah.
Like, is she pushing this to happen? And what does the husband think? Is there a husband in this situation? And because I just imagine, no offense to this woman, but if my wife is breastfeeding our child at 9 years old, it's a kind of a turnoff.
Adam?
Yes. I agree. And
Lay it on the table, Carter.
I don't think disgusting
and
is the word,
and
but
you stopped, what, a couple
creepy.
Years?
I mean, it's creepy.
Creepy, yeah, that's...
it's kind of creepy. But, I mean, so maybe the kid thinks it's still normal, but if the kid's going to school and saying, oh, yeah, I'm still breastfeeding, the other kids are like, what?
There's some serious bullying.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, bullying, but just like blowback, and the kid will be come home and say, Mom...
although some kids might not care, right? If you believe this is the best thing to do, you don't care about that, right? I'd like to hear from any doctors in any way who would say this is the preferred route, right? And again, yes, we are getting many of the texts from our male listeners that, yes, they'd like to breastfeed now. Okay, we got it. We got the text. We got the gist of where you stood. 2:10. Adam Carter with the news, and then Adam Carter. In fact, why don't you tell people about your interview that we're going to play here in a couple minutes?
Yeah, it's in the news. 1 month anniversary of Jamie Kloss disappearing, and I talked to Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald on the investigation, and obviously the big questions that remain and how he's dealing with those and how it's changed kind of his.
So after the news,
the
we'll play the whole thing. Sounds good. Okay, so this happened earlier in the day, and then when Adam was explaining it to us, we thought, why not air this interview? Adam, set it up, and then let's lead right into the conversation.
Well, today, obviously, 1 month since Jamie Kloss disappeared. Everybody's familiar with the case now, the 13-year-old Wisconsin girl who's been missing since her parents were found murdered in their home just outside of Barron, Wisconsin, and really no clues as to who did this.
Which is just stunning.
Well, it is
right?
Stunning, and I get into that with the sheriff here talking about usually in cases like this, you have a pretty good idea of enemies made and people who might do this. But as the sheriff explains here, that's something that they're still searching for. But obviously I thought it would be a good time to talk to him, you know, a month
absolutely.
After it happened. And I asked the sheriff about, you know, what's happening now that wasn't happening, you know, a month ago.
We are still investigating every tip that comes in. We still have, if you want to call them, boots on the ground from DCI and the FBI here, along with our own detectives in Wisconsin, working every tip that comes in. We're receiving about 25, 30 tips a day. We continue to follow them. We are expanding our video team efforts. We have a team from all over the nation that the FBI has put together, video experts, and they're reviewing the current video we had and new video that we were obtaining from reaching farther out from our original perimeter, putting that video together in a format to a view in what I'm calling a movie mode. I'm sure there's a more technical term for it, but basically
kind of,
we can
give it a chronological order.
Yep, exactly what they're doing. So they're building that as we speak, and hopefully we'll have that later this week or early next week, will that video be built for us to look for any video or any pieces of evidence that we might find, vehicles of interest, something like that. And then with deer hunting around the corner, we're asking all of our deer hunters to be aware in the woods, a gun, clothing, child's clothing, a backpack, something on their property that's kind of out of place, to let us know across the state of Wisconsin. We'll have lots of people in the woods hunting, and that's a good time for them to check their area for us.
You still say you get about 25 tips a day, is that right?
Yep, just over that probably.
Can you give me an idea of what kind of, generally, what kind of information you get? Is it stuff that you can easily say, well, this isn't helping us, or perks your interest? Can you kind of describe what kind of things you get?
Yeah, some of them are, she's in a barn. Well, that doesn't help us in northern Wisconsin or in Minnesota because there's lots of them around. But there's other things that go on, like there's been some sightings that have been possible sightings of her. Now, all of those have been unconfirmed. We've checked them all, and they're not Jamie. I shouldn't say we've confirmed all of them as unsubstantiated sightings, but those are, I know there was three or four tips over the last couple of days of possible sightings. So we thank the viewers and listeners for all of those tips that come in. But some are vehicles, some are sightings, some are thoughts. And, a lot of them can be taken out of the pile right away, and some are followed up on by our investigative team.
The cars, the descriptions of the cars you gave a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. Are those still a focus?
The red one is in question. We've had some other experts look at that red Challenger. That's kind of out of play. We haven't officially ruled it out. We're waiting for that video evidence to come and look at that, slow the video down a little bit, look at that car. The black car is still of interest to us. That was definitely in the area. There was a black vehicle in the area that we know of during the time, so we are looking for that.
Still don't know if it's either an Edge or a Lexus. Still possibility it's one of the two?
Right. We're still looking at that. Hopefully our video evidence can narrow that down, and we can get a smaller vehicle to look at, a very more specific model and make.
Sheriff, I'm not a police investigator, but I've watched enough TV and, seen enough shows that investigators always say, when it's a significant crime like this, it's usually somebody that somebody knows, that that's rarely a random crime. Are you any closer in determining whether or not this is simply a random crime or if it's somebody that was known to the Clausus?
Yeah. No, that's the million-dollar question, if you want to call it that. That's the motive we're looking for. Who's the target here? Why are they the target? That is the question that we deal with on a daily basis of trying to narrow that gap down. So nothing's off the table. We haven't ruled off sex trafficking. We haven't ruled off a coworker. We haven't ruled out anything. And that's what our detectives are trying to do, is check off some of the boxes, and we're just struggling with finding the evidence to check something off that says, boy, we've checked it. Now, there's no red flags out there when it comes to employees or family or anything like that. The digital evidence is being reviewed. We've looked at that. We've looked at their cell phones. We've looked at what's on them. We've looked at text messages. There's just nothing out there that says, boy, she was calling out for help, or there was some kind of disturbance, or someone didn't like, I didn't like get along with my mom or dad, and she got along great with her mom. So there's some puzzles of the piece that frustrate us every day that we can't fit together, and we're just trying to fit them.
And safe to say at this point, even though you're saying you're not ruling anything out, but at the same time you really haven't identified anyone as a possible person of interest, or you think that somebody you've talked to maybe knows more than they're letting on?
No, we don't have any persons of interest. If we did, that would, the public would be the first to know that, because I think that's an important piece of the puzzle here that we really want to get out. We'd really love for there to be a suspect, but we're not going to stretch the evidence or make it or reach, or we're going to go with where the evidence takes us, and that includes the tips that people call in, and we want that to be the front part of our investigation here.
It is such a mystery, and you hear people talking about it, and I've heard over and over people speculating that, well, maybe she left willingly, or somehow
right.
Knew that. Have you ruled that out, that she went willingly, or not necessarily had anything to do with it, but maybe
right.
Knew who did this?
And that's entirely a possibility. What I say to the people that do talk to me, around the area about that is, you have to remember, she's a 13-year-old, very innocent girl. She was very shy. She was didn't have a lot of friends. She had very specific friends. We've reached out to those friends. So while we haven't taken that off the table, you know, this was a very violent crime with gunfire and people, you know, obviously her mom and dad shot by gunshot wounds. Whether she went willingly or against her will, obviously after something like that, you're more than likely at 13 going to go willingly because you don't want that to happen to you. So while I don't consider her a suspect, we, like I said, nothing is off the table. But again, she's a 13-year-old girl that's obviously something she watched, what we believe watched her mom and dad get shot.
Right. I've heard you mention this before in some of your press conferences about social media and people's, you know, sharing things. Mm-hmm. That can be a cesspool, though. I mean, you know it, too, I'm yep. sure. Has that hindered your investigation at all, or can you comment on how that either helps or hurts?
Yeah, to some degree, that has it helped our investigation in the beginning. I mean, we got a lot of tips. The FBI hadn't seen this many tips come in that short a period of time in a case that they've seen, you know, across the nation. So that's been a blessing, and everybody wants to help bring a 13-year-old girl home. But some of that, you know, calling in a tip and having us print the tip that says she's in a barn by a river isn't really a tip. I mean, it has to be very specific. So if that's one suggestion I can make to the listeners out there is, you know, they've got to be more than just, you know, possible sightings. We understand. We can go get video evidence, and we've been working with many different agencies from Minnesota to Wisconsin to across the nation. There's been sightings of her, and we go gather that evidence, and there isn't a police department or sheriff's department that hasn't dropped what they're doing to help us with this case, and we can't thank the people of Minnesota, Wisconsin enough about that, and it's been wonderful. But, yeah, that can be a hindrance of some of the comments and things on Facebook, and we continue to follow up on those too. We have somebody from the FBI monitors the Facebook pages and does that. So yeah, it's part of the investigation that can help but hinder at the same time.
1 month today, and the statistics of other cases say that the outcome usually isn't good when it's this long. In your heart of hearts, Sheriff, what are you hoping here? Do you still think Jamie's alive?
Yeah, definitely. I do think she's alive, and the FBI has provided us with many, many cases where kids have been found alive. You know, you look at the Elizabeth Smart, and her foundation has reached out to us and shared our information. You look at the Cleveland case where the women were found in a house. You know, those houses were 10 feet apart from each other for years, and so there's lots of help out there, a lot of hope out there, and this community is riding on hope, and that's what gives our deputies and officers the drive and determination every day to go out and work this case.
Sheriff, just a last question for you. Obviously, Barron County is usually much quieter than this, and I can only assume that it's been a chaotic last month. Just tell me about kind of how you go day to day here as we continue to investigate this case.
Yeah, day to day, we don't sleep a lot. It's changed our patterns of work. You know, this is on our minds, and it's on not only the officers' minds but the public mind, and not only in Barron County but across the nation, especially in Minnesota and Wisconsin. We're so close to the Minnesota border. It's changed and operate, and you know the media has been wonderful, and I spend most of my day doing media interviews, keeping the hope out there alive and the story out there, because I know sooner or later if we don't find her, the story's going to go away, and I'm trying to not make that happen. And I can't thank the media enough for being partners with us on this case and reaching out and keeping the story of Jamie alive so we can bring her home.
Yeah. Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Pretty open. I mean,
really
taking
open.
The time.
Right.
And, you know, there were a couple press conferences where he kind of was scolding of the media, but I think that's a natural
right.
reaction when you're one of these smaller towns and you have the national press.
You're not prepared for that.
You're not prepared
for
it.
Nobody would be.
National press show up and national press doing the things that they do just yep. because that's all they do. And
enemy of the people, as you've called them many
right.
times. When he says, I am convinced she is alive, right? We all hope that.
Yeah.
We all 100% hope this is Elizabeth Smart, where, mm-hmm. and we hope it without the horror that Elizabeth Smart had to go through. And we were talking about this off air. Do you just say that because you feel like optimistically you should say that? Is he saying that because he's seen some things behind the scenes? Because we were talking about this, and you posed a little bit too of, are there other things you're not sharing with us that you feel like you just can't share with
us? That's what, I mean, you know, absent of information that they have that will lead them to believe otherwise, I believe he does think that she's still alive. And maybe because there is this great void of any answers or even clues that he possibly believes that. Or maybe, maybe there is some sort of information that they have that they're not sharing.
And they don't have to share it.
No, sure, not
clearly,
at all.
Right? I mean, it just seems so implausible that you have two people murdered.
Right.
The daughter disappearing. The authorities arrived so quickly.
Yeah.
And you've had, I mean, we had, thousands comb in the air to help. Mm-hmm. You had smart people, the FBI. I can't, as we were saying off here, I can't imagine how you're trying to decipher the legitimate tips you're getting versus just bizarre, some of them meant to be cruel, some of them meant to be helpful, but they're just, there's nothing behind it. So, yeah, it's a sad story, and it never will change from a sad story because two people were brutally murdered. But let's hope somehow, some way that Jamie is still found. Excellent job by Adam.
Thank you very much. I agree.
What are you, Jimmy Butler?
I'm a tremendous human being.
Franklin Street Bakery and the Kick Hunger Challenge bring us Dara. So we set it up before the break. These are you describe it best, Dara.
All right, so I put out an open call. I was actually remembering we used to do Thanksgiving at my Aunt Esther's house, and I was just thinking about my aunt, my dear departed Aunt Esther.
Do we have many Esthers now?
I know a couple little kid Esthers. It's a name that's back. I know a lot of little Rubies and
Ruby?
Esthers.
Okay.
Olive, a lot of little Olives. But anyway, so
Olive's
I was thinking
underrated.
About my I was thinking about my Aunt Esther and her Thanksgiving spread and the things that were on it that I just don't think of. And the main thing I was thinking of is just the classic mid-century relish tray. You know, it's like a cut glass.
Yeah.
And it's
I
got
like that.
Celery sticks and olives. And like, why don't I do that? Why don't we do that anymore? And I was kind of put an open call, and the comment thread is up to like 177 responses at this point, and a couple of themes have emerged. People are all talking about there used to be herring, or there still is herring, and why is there pickled herring at Thanksgiving? And that's a legitimate question. That was not part of my childhood Thanksgiving.
I don't like it. Now, you like herring?
I do like herring.
Yeah,
I like pickled herring, but I don't like it at Thanksgiving. There's other things I like that are not Thanksgiving things.
Maybe I need to try pickled herring again. Now, you have on here cran jellied.
The can. Actually, you got to open both sides of the can and then push it through, and then you get the ridges on the edge. And
cranberry sauce.
Well, somebody was saying that they used to think that the ring mold that was like some kind of fancy culinary thing that their mom was like working at, she has a special thing.
That'd be great if she was telling her, I spent a lot of time on this, and finally one Thanksgiving they caught
her. These designs are incredible.
They're so symmetrical. And then people are saying like, no, I have to have the jelly cranberry cranberry can. I can't say that five times fast. But they like to have the fancy, fresh cranberry relish, but then also... Because I will say the good thing about the jelly can is that you can make slices and then you can put them between two, pieces of white bread with some turkey. So that's good.
The next day, right?
The next day, yeah. Well,
later that night.
Yeah, later that night, right. among the items here coming in from Texas, cranberries overrated. I hate it. This is, by the way, this is the winner of our texter. Please, you win. Call us. Is it okay to serve breast milk at Thanksgiving dinner? What is the age limit for guests to partake? Yes. Call in.
It was a topic earlier.
It was a topic earlier.
I heard it. Infants.
Yes. Yes.
It's appropriate for infants.
Not 9-year-olds?
I have a 10-year-old. That's just, I can't even with that. It's too much to think about. It's just, my mind just stops functioning.
We still make lutefisk at Christmas for my late Uncle Jerry, who died in 1991. We tell the same stories every year, and it helps keep us close, even though he's gone.
Aw.
When I die, I told my kids to leave a small plate of pickled herring on the holiday dinner table for me. That is very touching.
Aw.
That is nice, right? I'm coming around to this.
All right.
What should we leave on the table for you here at the CCO Thanksgiving?
Bud Light, Silo.
I was going to say
just a can koozie with your picture on it. Can koozie
with a with an old style.
I was going to say we're going to put a pizza in the garbage. Yeah. Everything's going to be somehow, some way.
With a candle above the garbage.
Slim Jim just balanced across the top, and if the Slim Jim wobbles, then you know Adam Carter's come to visit.
The Slim Jim. Do Pete's always come pick? Do beets always come pickled? Some text.
You know, I think that I've seen beets just canned and not pickled.
Yeah, I don't
and
think...
of course you can get them in the vegetable aisle
right.
or raw, and then you can roast them or there's oh, all the culinary people are doing all kinds of goofy things with beets these days. I saw a recipe the other day for taking your beet skins and putting them in your mezcal, and then you have bright red mezcal. It's like, I don't have that kind of time.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, I don't know who does.
The person, by the way, the person with the great line says, pass them on to somebody else. Another listener. Very nice.
Spread the joy. Hold the milk this Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely gets it. Mash rutabaga. This texture says, no, thank you, Grandma.
That is some thrifty, old school farm cooking.
Do you mean to say cheap? Is that what you're saying?
No, I respect it, but yeah, cheap. Cheap is a, you know, that was nothing how
wrong.
People ate for
not cheap when times
years.
Are tough.
Doesn't it go back to like World War II, the rutabaga?
No, I think it goes way back farther than that.
I
think we're
well
fully
back.
Up in Germany. We're up in like, what can you grow in the, you know, in the permafrost regions of Germany? That's
I just
where
remember
we are.
When I was little, I had the American Girl doll Molly. You can la-di-da-me.
Well, la-di-da.
She always complained about having to eat rutabagas.
Well, maybe she's texting in. Maybe it's a sign.
I haven't had rutabaga in a long time.
A lot of people put them in Cornish pasties, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Very, like a lot of restaurants do a mix. They do a half rutabaga, half potato mash, so it takes down the peppery qualities. I like rutabaga. It's a flavor for people with a strong constitution. Like it's just got a little prickle to it. Like it's not a wussy flavor. I like
Adam,
rutabaga.
You have a strong constitution?
I do, but I don't think I've ever had rutabaga.
I have, but it's been a long time. Dara, what's the most overrated part of the Thanksgiving meal?
The most overrated
food item.
Oh.
Not just the, you know, you're going to say your family
talking,
or
talking and discussing new relatives.
Seeing people who won't leave. I mean, yes.
Well, her name is.
Yeah. Which food item is most overrated? Because I have a strong opinion on this.
Well, let me think. I think the most overrated Thanksgiving
so
is
proud
the,
of your turkey take.
Is the healthy vegetable. Like when people are all like, suddenly I've got a broccoli stem pomegranate concoction that I'm going to put in here. It's going to bring virtue to the table.
Oh, thanks for bringing that, Lucinda. We appreciate it.
No, you've got to leave. It is not
nice
the
yoga
time.
Pants.
Is not the time to suddenly bust out the weird, healthy.
We have breaking rutabaga news.
Oh.
From a caller.
Okay.
Breaking rutabaga news. We are your breast milk capital or breast milk radio station.
For 9-year-olds.
Now your rutabaga radio station.
Yes. They bring you some?
The capital. The rutabaga capital. Cumberland, Wisconsin.
Oh, we've been there. We've been to Cumberland. And then
broadcast from Cumberland.
Yes, we did. And then what was this item you showed me? Chow mein and chocolate?
A gentleman said every year his sister makes chow mein noodles covered in chocolate.
Oh, haystacks. Those are called haystacks. Those are not bad. Those give my official not bad. They're old. Like there's a bunch of no bake Christmas recipes.
Uh-oh. Sounds like Adam. He will be baked though, actually.
We've got we need another sounder. We've got rutabaga controversy because I just Googled it, rutabaga capital of the world, and Askoff, Minnesota is the former rutabaga capital of the world.
Take that, Cumberland. We were way ahead of you. Haystacks?
They're called haystacks. Yeah, there's a bunch of little no bake recipes. You
good
take
nickname
you melt
for a
chocolate.
Boxer.
You take a bunch
wrestler.
Of chow mein noodles. You smoosh them together into a little pyramid. You drizzle chocolate on them so they stick together.
And don't at Easter they make them into like little nests?
Oh yeah, and you put a couple little jelly beans for eggs in them. They're not delicious.
Turkey.
They're not.
Turkey overrated.
Turkeys are not overrated.
Overrated.
Turkeys
are
important North American bird. They're almost our national bird.
If you don't put gravy on it, you're bored by turkey.
Okay, gravy is also wonderful.
Well, exactly. And it's the only reason why turkey's any good. It's bland. It's dry.
It's not true.
It's like the seventh on the list.
He's so proud of his hot take, turkey taker.
I'm going to put an underrated
on truth.
I'm going to put an underrated on gravy. Because when are the other times
of
the year
we
get to have gravy? Gravy's delicious.
And gravy goes on everything.
Like a good homemade gravy? some good stock. Anyway, so turkey,
because you're high,
my
so
friend,
you, of course you'll put gravy in anything.
Is a is our North American, like our biggest North American bird. It was domesticated by Native Americans who are using it for all kinds of things, for food, for feathers, for all kinds of things. Love the turkey. Turkey.
Honestly, if there was a ham in front of you or a turkey in front of you, you would eat the ham every time ahead of the turkey.
Would I?
Yes.
Would I?
I have no idea. I'm just saying that.
You ever get the here's where a couple times I've done the friends Thanksgiving where you do an extra Thanksgiving on one of the days before or after, and then you're just sitting around. You got the whole turkey carcass and the good part that gets all crispy on the bottom.
Well, okay,
that was delicious.
The turkey sandwich the next day, yes. But when you have all the other choices.
I'm not even next day in it. I'm saying 10 o'clock at night. You're still in the kitchen. You're drinking wine with your friends. That is the best turkey. That's the
apex. That's what this show does every day. 10 o'clock, drinking wine, yeah. Talking to imaginary friends. You know, what else is there? Stuffing or turkey?
Oh, stuffing needs, what are we saying, stuffing or dressing?
Which is better?
Like in outside no. of the turkey?
Filling.
Wait, outside
filling,
of
as my father calls it. Which would you rather have? Filling or turkey?
People usually don't get it cooked all the way when it's inside the bird. So if it is cooked all the way, then I'm for it. But I like it. I like it in the pan because then it gets crispity all up on top of it.
No crunchy stuff in it, though.
Don't want crunchy stuff?
No, keep the celery out of it.
What? Well, you just got to cook the celery better. Well, it must have the celery. You must.
You just want it plain as can be? Is that what you're saying?
I just don't want that crunch to it.
I mean, if it's crispy, the whole day, the day before, shelling chestnuts that you roasted to make the stuffing, because that's delicious. Then I want the whole top glazed with butter so it gets all crispy. I have a lot of requirements.
Handful. It's like one call here. Bruce is calling in from Albert Lee. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hi. One of the must-haves at my house is peanut brittle with bologna, and we have that on a little croissant. It's just a great little snack that we always have.
When, is that like
a door greeter? Do you
greet I'm thinking that's early in the day, Bruce.
Yes. We snack on it. Oh, the full time. We're there. It's so good. A little sweet, salty. Oh, it's wonderful. You should try it.
Do you ever have that away from Thanksgiving or just save it just for Thanksgiving?
You know, oddly enough, we don't. It's like that's the time we make it, you know. Grandma used to make it like that and offer it up for us, and we just keep doing it.
Is there a good drink that goes along with this?
Pardon me?
I mean, is there a certain drink? I mean, that like a red wine or a beer or water?
No, we're unfortunately a family of alcoholics, so we don't drink much at our house.
I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah, I'm sorry that you went through that challenge, but what do you think of turkey, Bruce? Hello?
Too bad.
Wow, we lost Bruce.
Did he hang up?
I don't know.
Too much for him.
Mini croissants are usually avoided at Thanksgiving, but now.
I kind of like that, like at the door.
That would be good.
You know?
Do you have hors d'oeuvres on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah, we usually put something. I also let the kids do it. If you make like a...
Well, that works out well.
Yeah, it does. It works out very well. Do not. You've lived wrong. So what you do is you get them on top of things like the Parmesan twist. You get them some puff pastry and they sit there and they twist it all up. And then
But you don't eat it then, do you? You just let them do it?
Yeah. What puff pastry twisted up that's cooked off in the oven? It's not that.
Rumaki.
What can they do wrong?
Bacon wrapped water chestnuts.
Yeah, that's old school. I like
that. That is old school. I like that.
That's good.
What was Bruce's item again there? It was peanut brittle and bologna.
Bologna. Yeah. On a croissant.
On a croissant. That is a heck of an item. 2:53. That is our Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with our clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. All right, here's the deal. We got one more pair of tickets to see Geraldine Steele. Holiday event this Monday, 11 a.m. First person to call in. You need to know the number. We're rewarding the loyalty. First person calling gets a 4-pack of tickets to see Geraldine. Dara, you get 5 seconds. Show Saturday?
Yeah, I got Rick and Lee Dean from the Star Tribune. It's a meeting of minds. We're going to do their cookie book. We'll talk about the favorite Minnesota cookie recipes.
We're done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.